Peace, love, and light, everybody. Minds Like Minds podcast. I'm your host, RL Malpica. And man, first and foremost, thank you. Peace and love to everybody who supported this show and continues to support it on all streaming sites, including YouTube. And a lot of you coming out on YouTube, I really appreciate it. Thank you for all the comments and shares and likes and all that good stuff. And subscriptions, of course. But we're going to continue on this health tip, natural health and diet. And we're going to get into routine doctor visits, a concept that was birthed by the industry itself. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to dive into it, kind of the purpose behind it. We're going to answer the question, do you need to go to the doctor, you know, as many times as you're told? Just the whole idea and concept behind all of it. But you know, first and foremost, you can follow me everywhere at RL Malpica, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. And you know, it's very important for me to let everybody know why I do this. And that is to share my philosophies that not only that I have, you know, created, you know, through the help of a lot of mentors, but also because I live it. And I like to share my experiences. And ultimately, that's what this is about, is to share my experiences, to share my light, in the hopes that people can resonate with it and make changes to their life to better humanity and the collective consciousness of the world. But, you know, when I think about just the whole idea of going to the doctor, like it's a concept that we're kind of born into, you know, especially within the past century, you know, as the medical system has completely changed in the past century, the healthcare system has completely changed as well. And the systems that have been instilled have different purposes than they did 100 years ago. You know, I think about like how it's common now for people to go to the doctor multiple times a year for no reason other than a quote unquote, you know, proactive check-in, routine visit, I think is what they call it, or a physical or whatever the case may be. And look, I'm not a medical professional. The disclaimer out there is, look, I'm not here to give you advice on what you should do in a medical situation. I am merely sharing my philosophies on healthcare and life. And by no means am I trying to coerce you into doing something that may cause harm or anything else. And these statements have not been regulated by the FDA or any other governmental healthcare commission. So now that we got all that out the way, we could talk. Not trying to get shadow banned or anything out in these worlds. Been there, done that, not trying to do it again. But you know, like the concept of going to the doctor when you're not ill is something that was birthed, you know, once the medical system and the healthcare system shifted to a more mass-based type of production, you know, when hospitals came to be. And that's when like the free thinker and the individual can kind of see how the patient pretty much became a customer. And in order to do that, like society, if you think about it, society had to instill this fear within people when it came to getting sick. You know, like I say it all the time, that fear is one of the most powerful emotions, you know, behind love. And obviously they're not going to play on love. They may play on your loved one's fear of loss of a loved one or things that you love. But like the powers, the ones that control all of this, they want to tap into your emotions. They want to tap into the fear. And the fear is what helped birth the idea of constantly going to the doctor. The fear is what makes people so conscientious of their health when it comes to not necessarily their health, I should say, but their lack of health. You know, WebMD, and, you know, you go on Google and you throw in any symptom and, you know, you got 50 to 100 different medical websites that pop up that tell you what it possibly could be. And people go down that rabbit hole, get scared, and all of a sudden they go to the doctor, and then the whole process begins. But, you know, that fear had to be set up first. Like, they had to instill that. That's the foundation of all of it. Because people are constantly scared of being sick or possibly conjuring up some disease that could be life-threatening, that could be terminal. That's where the fear plays into all of this. Look, I mean, we've all lost loved ones to different ailments and whatnot. And this podcast isn't necessarily to talk about what those ailments are or were, or whatever the case may be. It's more about talking about the concept of the doctor being the end-all be-all. It's also about talking about how the doctor became the authority figure. And that's all based on fear. Because the idea is that the doctor's the professional. The doctor went through countless amounts of years of schooling. The doctor spent countless amounts of money. The doctor's been practicing for countless amounts of years. Therefore, they are the end-all be-all when it comes to a diagnosis, when it comes to prescribing medicine, when it comes to opinions and advice. That's not how I operate. Everything in life, you know, especially when we're talking about what's dealing with you and something that's most sacred, which is your livelihood, your vitality, is up for discussion. It's up for debate. And it's up for perspective. The idea of looking at a doctor as an authority figure, you know, is really preposterous if you think about it. The doctor is a resource. That's it. They're not the authority. They are a resource to you if you want to utilize. But see, the whole concept of fear, the whole idea of fear that's been instilled has changed that relationship with the doctor. And on both sides, like the doctor, I can't speak for all doctors, but a good portion of doctors look at themselves as the authority figure. I've had plenty of doctors in my day look at me like I was crazy if I had other opinions or ideas of something. Or even get upset if I tried to utilize a different resource than them. It's that entitlement that's kind of built into the position nowadays. And if you kind of look through all the systems that across the world, when it comes to systems that are societal systems, they're kind of similar. You know, you think of religion, you know, you have your authority figure, you know, which is your priests or your pastors or whatever, or rabbis or whatever the case may be. Those are your authority figures. And you know, you go to worship and they kind of lay down the law and you listen, you absorb, you take. And if you question it, you know, you can only question it in certain parameters or else you're out of line because they're the authority figure. Or if you look at the educational system and you got your teacher, and then you have all your students underneath that listen. They can question within the parameters within that box. But once they step outside that box, now all of a sudden they're insubordinate. Or if they want to think creatively, they don't want to toe the line. You know, they're looked at as an outcast because the teacher's the authority figure. It's the same thing in the medical system with the doctors. So when you start looking at it like that, you know, same thing with the law and order system, the judge, the authority figure, the police officer, the authority figure, all these systems, it's all very similar. And it's all by design. Because if you have an authority figure, when you separate yourself from another individual, all of a sudden, you lose the power. The power's gone. Your power is gone. And you're basically a subject to whatever that authority figure, how or however that authority figure wants to operate. So I say step back and look at all the situations in your life and ask yourself, like, where's my power in this situation? Where's my power? If you have a financial advisor, and when it comes to your finances, if you feel like that relationship is uneven to where they're the authority figure, or they, you know, they shoot down your opinions or ideas or anything like that, take your power back. They are a resource. They are not an authority figure. The police work for you. You pay the taxes. Technically, they're like your employee. They are not the authority figure. People look up to these politicians because they promote and create this idea of possibilities that you think will make your life better. So you look at them as an authority figure or an idol. Take your power back. They're a person just like you and me, like us. You know, we do the same thing with sports figures. We have that idol worship, like LeBron James is above and beyond us, or, you know, Tom Brady's above and beyond us. No, they're people just like us. They have a certain skill set, but they're here to entertain you. The doctor is a resource. Understand that. And when you start to look at it that way, then you really start to understand how this system was built. And why it was built the way it is. Because if the doctor's the authority figure, then you, the patient, when you walk into the office, you're at their mercy. Remember, it doesn't matter what business you go to. Most likely, especially in, we're talking like, you know, most mass producing type of commercial businesses, most of the time they're going to find something they can sell you. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, if I go into a Best Buy and I want an 85 inch Sony OLED TV, but they don't have any Sony OLED TVs. They sold out. They're going to try to sell me something else. Oh, have you seen the Samsung though? This QLED, it's not OLED, but this quantum LED, I'm telling you, it's almost a clear, the contrast is almost as good as an OLED, but it's even brighter. They're going to try to sell me on that Samsung. Right? Or if I go to BMW dealership and I want an M440. They don't have any M440s, but they just got a 5 series, a 540. They're going to try to sell me on that 540. That's business. That is a capitalist society. You go to a restaurant and you ask for a certain salad. They're not serving it anymore. They're going to try to get you something else because you're in the restaurant. You know, you got to eat, right? It's the same situation with going to the doctor. So the whole concept and idea of routine visits is conjured up because of business, because the patient is the customer. That's how big pharma works. That's how the insurance system works. They're all in cahoots with each other. And I'm not knocking the doctors. I mean, they didn't create the system. They're just a part of the system. You know, just like I would never knock a cop. They didn't create the system. They're a part of the system, right? Never knock, you know, an insurance agent or whatever. You know, you make your living how you can make your living. You know, I have a lot of respect for doctors. They put in so much work to get where they are. You know, do I agree with everything? No, I don't. But I respect them. And for people to listen to this or watch this and say, well, how can you talk about a doctor, all they do for people and everything like that? Like, you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from. What I'm trying to say is that they are not the end all be all. They're not the authority figure. They're the resource. Take your power back. If you think that way, then you already, then that tells me right there that you have not taken your power back. Patients are customers. Why else would you go to the doctor if you were feeling fine? Well, somebody might say, well, RL, I mean, shit, you don't know what's going on inside your body. And what does that come down to? Fear. Because the fear that's been instilled through the media, the mainstream media, through predictive programming of movies and entertainment and propaganda and situations like what we just went through in this world, as well as HIV and AIDS and, you know, tuberculosis and polio and everything else down the line, syphilis, you name it. All these different things, there's always something, right? There's always something. Because you got to create that fear. You got to instill that fear so you have more customers. It's really genius if you look at it, if you think about it. I mean, there's a reason that 8 out of 10 commercials you see on TV or through streaming, ads through streaming, are pharmaceutical companies. Fear. There's a reason why the standard American diet is what it is. There's a reason why the FDA exists. There's a reason why there are fast food restaurants up and down every block. It's all by design. Like, all of this, it's all by design. But that's why we have discussions like this, so you can, you know, you can pull the veil from over your head and start to see it for what it truly is. Now, I'm not on here saying that you shouldn't do your routine visits and go to the doctor. I'm just trying to tell you why they exist, in my opinion, from a philosophical standpoint. Did you know that the third leading cause of death in America, probably in the world, but let's just talk America, is our medical errors? So your number one cause of death, heart disease. Number two cause of death, cancer. Number three cause of death, medical errors. Number four cause of death, respiratory issues. So you can throw COVID in there. You can throw the flu, you know, any type of respiratory issue. All right. Number one, heart disease. Number two, cancer. Number three, medical error. Here's a little tidbit of knowledge for everybody out there. Since 1949, the way that they have registered deaths in this country was through medical coding. So what that means is when you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, whatever the diagnosis is, whatever you're going in there for, or whatever you've been diagnosed at when you end up at the hospital, if you were to expire, succumb to whatever's going on, your death would be marked by that coding. There's no coding for medical error. It's all about the diagnosis because you're a customer. But medical errors, they actually did research and actually broke these deaths down. This is you can look it up. John Hopkins has something about it. CNBC has something about it. You can Google it. 10% of the deaths in this country are through medical error. Deaths. So if you break down medical error, what is that? Well, that means that because you've been conditioned and indoctrinated and told that you need to go to the doctor when you're not sick, when you're not feeling unwell for your routine visits, there's a chance that there's a really good chance you're going to be diagnosed with something. And if you are diagnosed with something, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to be a misdiagnosis. And it doesn't matter if it's a diagnosis or a misdiagnosis, it puts you on the path. It puts you in the vortex of our medical system. Just like if you commit a crime, you're in the system. Same thing in the medical world. You're in the system. Because you go in, you think everything's fine, but oh, you know what? We did a blood test, and this is running a little bit high, so we're going to put you on this pill to see if we can lower those levels. So you get on that pill, and all of a sudden now, you've introduced new chemistry to your body, chemistry that is foreign to your body, which is going to cause a bunch of different effects. It doesn't for everybody, but it does for some people. And then a chain of events happens after that, and they can't pinpoint it off that original diagnosis. They won't pinpoint it on the original diagnosis. And it just puts you on a path to unhealth. I'm not saying that that happens every time. I'm saying that there's a chance of that happening every time you go to the doctor. Now, some people say, oh, well, you know, look, that's a small chance, a small percent. No, we're talking 10% of the deaths in this country are medical error. So why does that happen? What happens? Because there has to be a diagnosis, because there has to be a customer. If the system wasn't built the way it is, if it wasn't, you know, built off of capitalistic characteristics, then it wouldn't be that way. Then a doctor wouldn't be incentivized to prescribe you medicine. You hear where I'm coming from here? I live by the philosophy of taking your power back from a health standpoint. Meaning understanding that if you do get sick or have dis-ease within your body, that you have the power to fix it because you created it. Now, look, there are situations, you know, that you may need medical attention. And through my philosophy, once again, I'm not a doctor here. But those are few and far between. Look, doctors, surgeons, you know, are needed in this world for a plethora of reasons. I mean, you get in a car accident or something catastrophic happens. Yes, you need doctors. You need hospitals for sure. We're talking about routine visits. We're talking about Fortune 500 companies and other companies too. But we're talking about corporations in this country that incentivize people who get routine visits in the name of health. See, you see the perspective here, how it's different? The perspective is that, well, if you go to the doctor, then they'll be able to find out what's wrong faster and attack it faster, and it'll give you a better chance to, you know, recover or survive. That is the mindset, because the mindset is to always take the accountability off the individual. Let me ask you this. Why don't companies incentivize their employees to eat better? Why don't they challenge them and provide incentives for going on a raw food diet or a raw food lifestyle? If they're so concerned with the health of their employees, because remember this, remember how it's all by design, like an unhealthy employee is not a formidable employee. Right? Remember, They're employees. They work for them. And if they're calling in sick all the time, well, then that doesn't help out the business. You have to pull back all these layers. These routine visits, they're just more money. They're just hitting the freaking cash register. Because think about it, you know, you got your co-pays. And even if you have insurance, the insurance company's paying something. Like, there's always a coding that goes into it. So it's how it keeps this thing going. Going and going and going and going and going. You know, 58% of the malpractice suits are due to a wrong diagnosis. If you look at, like, I want you to think about the last time you were diagnosed with something. And I want you to research how they came up with the diagnosis. Like, what is the protocol? Is it just an assumption based on the symptoms? Did they do a blood test? Did they do a urine analysis? What is it? You're going to be shocked when you actually go down that rabbit hole. Because remember, what's sold to you is that the doctor is the expert. So when you go to them and tell them that these things are happening, they're going to take that data based on what they've been taught, what they've learned through experience and through schooling, and they're going to make a qualified assumption of what is going on. And if it's serious enough, well, I shouldn't even say serious enough, but if it is something that they consider serious, they're going to prescribe you something. If it's something that's not too serious, they may still ask you, do you want me to prescribe you something? Oh, you got a rash, you got this itch. Well, I can prescribe this steroid for you. Should make it go away. Now, how many times in that exchange does the doctor actually break down all the side effects that that steroid might have? Or how introducing that steroid to the body is like introducing new chemistry to the body and could have serious long-term ramifications. And the last thing is, how many times does that doctor actually break down to you why it happened in the first place? Well, he won't, because in the standard medical system in this country, shit, damn near in the world, they don't have an answer for it. They may say certain foods, you know, could possibly cause it, or, you know, it could be exposure to a certain type of fabric, or are you using a new soap? Those types of things. But see, those are all answers to keep you asking for more, to keep you as a customer. You know, they might tell you, oh, did you eat anything different? Yeah, I had eggs. I rarely ever have eggs. Okay, well, why don't you stop eating eggs and see what happens. But in the meantime, let me prescribe this pill for you, and it should subside a little bit. They want customers. Customers. And I'm saying they as a whole. I'm not saying the individual, because the individual, look, I don't know what it would be like to be a doctor and have to see sick people and see people dying all the time. I can't speak to that. And, you know, so much praise goes to them to be able to do that. I can only imagine what it's like. I don't know if they have to put up boundaries and a wall emotionally when they deal with stuff like that. So I can't really speak to that. And by no means would I ever say that a doctor looks at their patients as statistics, as not human beings. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying the system as a whole looks at people as if they're not human beings. Does not look at it in a humanistic way. If they did, we wouldn't turn on the TV and hear about some new you know, pharmaceutical medicine that has 27 different side effects. If they did, then there would be more education about self-preservation. But we don't. Because if more people knew about self-preservation, more people knew about taking their power back and actually taking the accountability to create their own health, then they wouldn't have customers. A sick society is a profitable society when it comes to the medical system. Plain and simple. I'm going to say it again. The third leading cause of death is medical error. If you're telling me that the third leading cause of death is medical error, my confidence level when I walk into the doctor's office and have my consultation with the doctor, my confidence level that he's going to be able to, you know, have the correct diagnosis, and then for me to feel confident that I'm going to go to Walgreens, get this medicine, and this medicine is going to be for the betterment of me, is very low. There should have been, like, 2020 should have been on this, 60 Minutes. I mean, this should have been plastered everywhere. Now, these are studies that came out, you know, shit, seven, eight years ago, but they've been replicated, and those numbers have not ceased. It's been 10%. It's been the third leading cause of death, you know, for as long as they've been able to track it. But you don't hear about that. Because that would shatter the relationship between the patient and the doctor, the authority figure and the subject. It would shatter it. You know, we're told once we hit the age of 40 that we should go in for routine exams when it comes to prostate for men, you know, breasts for women, cancer screenings, you know, just to make sure we're, you know, we're operating, or our body is operating, right? Here's the deal. Here's my issue. Our bodies communicate with us. And we know what we're putting in. We know what we've been eating. We know the lifestyle that we live. So through that symbiosis, we're able to tell how we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean there's not stuff going on inside. Of course there is. But we would know based on our lifestyle if we were educated more. Like, if someone were to ask me, like, okay, how do you think your body's doing internally? I would tell them, based on where I am in my life, I would tell them that I got a lot of work to do. You know, I've been on this this raw food kick for going on a year. I've been vegetarian for 5 years, but I've eaten shit for almost 40. So I've got a lot of work to do. And I'm going to continuously do it for the rest of my life. And when I say work, it's not like hard work as far as, like, you know, physically hard or just straining and draining work. No, it's work as in I know I need to eat good food. I need to eat quality food. And I enjoy it and I love it because it tastes amazing. You know, fruit is nature's gift to the world, to us, to humanity. And I enjoy it, but I got a lot of work to do. And I'll continuously be doing it for the rest of my life. That's, you know, I will maintain my body for the rest of my life. That's where the education comes in, because most people don't realize that they have that power to heal themselves, that power to create a healthy terrain that where disease, dis-ease does not, cannot have habitat. So like that education that has been I want to say kept from us. I mean, I know that there are people that do have that knowledge in higher positions that could make some serious changes. But all in all, the majority of the people that run these systems don't know these things. And that, you know, that's just through indoctrination and conditioning. But like, if we had that education, like we'd be able to make these changes, and these routine visits would be a joke. You know, spending $500 to $1,000 a month to $1,500 a month on health insurance would be a joke. You feel what I'm saying here? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Like, we're told after 40, like I said, to go in for these cancer screenings when we feel fine. Or maybe we notice something. We notice a lump because the fear of cancer might be one of the strongest fears on the planet. Definitely in America. Because people don't understand what cancer is. Shit, most the way the medical system puts it out there, they don't really understand what cancer is. Now they understand, maybe understand what it is, but they don't understand how it's conjured up. Cancer is the last stage of disease. That's when your body has done everything it possibly can to clean itself, to rid itself, to heal itself. It's the last stage. But our fear of cancer is a huge reason why a lot of these routine visits exist. Man, I gotta go in. I just gotta make sure I ain't got cancer. I wanna make sure I ain't got cancer. I want you to ask yourself, because cancer is a touchy subject. I know it is. I think all of us within arm's reach can say that we've lost somebody close to us or somebody we know from cancer. I want you to ask yourself this question. Was it from cancer? Or was it from the treatment of cancer? That's a question you're allowed to ask. I know it seems like you're not. It seems like it's, oh my God, how can he say that? No, that is a legitimate question. Because if you go to the doctor and you have a screening and it comes back and the doctor tells you that, you know, I found something, we're going to do some more tests, we might have to do a biopsy, this, that, or the other. I want you to understand that you have options. Because the kicker is, and this is the dividing line between the medical system, the germ theory, and the terrain theory, is that the medical system and the germ theory does not put enough energy and focus on the cause. It's only worried about the treatment and how they can fix the situation as it is right now. So all that money that's donated to the American Cancer Association and, Cancer Awareness Month and all that stuff is going to find new treatments, new cures. None of it is dealing with the education and the understanding of how it was caused in the first place. Cancer is a bodily function. This is your system, your body doing what it's doing, like doing what it's doing. If you want to see some great breakdowns of what cancer truly is, I advise you to look at the cancer discussion with Dr. Morse. It's on YouTube. Google it. He breaks it down better than anybody that I've ever heard. Cancer cells are not special. They're not passed down from generation to generation. It's not hereditary. It's damaged cells. It is damaged cells. We have trillions of cells inside of our body. Trillions. And each cell is like a fractal. It is alive. Basically a fractal of you. It is alive. It's living. It breathes. It poops. It eats. And when it's fed acidity and toxicity for years upon years, those cells, they become damaged. And look, our body has a sewer system that gets rid of damaged cells. It's the lymphatic system. But if you're not treating your body the right way and you're not eating the right foods, that lymphatic system gets stagnated and it can't flow. Your sewer system isn't flowing. It gets backed up. So those cells, those damaged cells, can't be flushed away. So you know what your body does? It creates little cocoons for them. For the hope, because the body is very, very optimistic. The way the body works is very optimistic that, you know what, one day you're going to get things going again so you can flush those little cocoons, those little tumors out at some point. That is how optimistic your body is. Look, there's a very good chance that a good portion of us have had cancer and we didn't even know it. Quote unquote, what they would diagnose as cancer. Damaged cells that have been, you know, cocooned basically. Very good chance. But our body has flushed it away. Now, look, in every instance, there's always exceptions. I mean, there's tumors that get so big that they, you know, literally destroy organs or block organs or stop the organ function. And sometimes they need to be removed and things of that nature. You know, those are possibilities. But the kicker is that how did it get to that point in the first place? Got to that point because of your consumption and your lack of elimination. So basically what I'm saying is, like, I'm imploring everyone to educate themselves on the body and how the body works from a natural standpoint, not from an allopathic standpoint, not from the standpoint of the medical system, not from the standpoint of the insurance system, not from the standpoint of the germ theory, because those were all created with one thing in mind. Profit, the customer, the patient is the customer. The average person who gets cancer spends $150,000 on treatment. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. So in my opinion, do you need to go to the doctor on a routine visit? Do you need to have health insurance, things of that nature? In my philosophy, no. Not if you want to. And just for peace of mind, that's fine. Like, I understand, like, shit happens, right? Like, catastrophic events happen. You know, you're walking down the street, you step in a pothole, you break your leg. You're going to need a doctor. And shit's going to be expensive. You're going to have a baby. And, you know, you don't want to do the midwife thing. You actually want to go do the hospital thing. You're going to need insurance because that bill is hefty. And it's hefty for a reason, because if it wasn't hefty, then you wouldn't need insurance. You see how this works? There's no fucking reason in the world that spending one night in the hospital should cost $20,000. It's no reason in the world. But it has to be that way. Because then the insurance companies and the insurance system wouldn't work. There's no reason in the world why a pill or a treatment of any sorts should cost you hundreds of thousand dollars or even $1,000 for that. When you can get the same pill in Mexico or the same pill in Canada, the same pill somewhere else for a few dollars. But it has to be, or else we wouldn't need insurance. You start pulling back these layers and you really see what it's truly about. I just implore everybody to take that power back. You don't have to go to the doctor. You go to the doctor if you're not, if something is catastrophically wrong. But as far as the routine visits, understand the data. You're going for a routine visit to a system that is the third leading cause of death. The third leading cause of death, to try to prevent the second leading cause of death and maybe the first leading cause of death. But if you look at the first leading cause of death, which is heart disease, and you look at the second leading cause of death, which is cancer, you have the power to fix both of those. How do you do that? Changing your diet, changing your lifestyle. Plain and simple. We've been conditioned to think that a lot of these things are hereditary, and we are born with dispositions. We may have been born with a weak heart. We may have been born with weak lungs. We may have been born with weak kidneys. We may have been born with a weak liver. But that doesn't mean we have to express those genes and succumb to that reality, because the body is self-healing. Now, does that mean you have to be a little more cautious with certain things? Like if you have a weak liver, probably shouldn't be drinking too much alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Understanding those predispositions definitely help. Your body will tell you. But if you eat clean, you keep your lymphatic system moving, you keep your organs intact by what you consume, then look, you're going to be putting yourself in the best position possible, better than any medication could, better than any doctor's treatment could, any radiation could. So I would say, based on my philosophy, you know, the routine visits, look, you want to go to them, that's totally fine, but just understand what's happening. Everything is based on markers. And those markers ultimately funnel into a diagnosis. You go in there, you're a little bit overweight. Okay. You've been having headaches. Okay. You know, your sugar levels are at a certain spot. Okay. Now all of a sudden you're diagnosed with diabetes. What's the treatment? They put you on the treatment. They put you on insulin, whatever the case may be, depending on which, you know, which one you got. They talk about some dietary changes. They don't talk about dietary, you know, they don't break it down to the point where the diet can actually help that, can actually fix that. Or you go into the, you go to the doctor and they diagnose you with lupus. They give you the treatment, the plan of how you can operate with lupus. They don't tell you that dietary changes, going on a natural raw fruit diet, raw fruit lifestyle, can eliminate these things altogether. Because they want customers. And I'm not blaming the doctors. It's the way the system's set up. It's like you can't blame the officer. Well, you can in a lot of cases, actually, because some officers are fucking crazy, right? But you can't blame the judge and the prosecutor. You got to blame the law. You got to blame the system. You know what I'm saying? That's how it breaks down. I hope I don't get shut down on fucking YouTube for this. But hey, it is what it is. The truth needs to be told. Look, I put the disclaimer out there. So I'm just being real. And I think it's important that everybody understands what's truly going on. to summarize, they use fear, the installation of fear into society through propaganda and mainstream media, ultimately is the foundation of the medical system. Because that fear is what inspires and motivates people to go to the doctor. I need to go to the doctor so I can, just in case something's wrong, we can catch it early. Gotta catch it early. That's the perspective. That's the mindset. Instead of the opposite mindset of, well, I want to make sure I never get to that point, so I'm going to take care of myself. I want that accountability. Third leading cause of death, people. First cause, heart disease. That's a terrain issue. Cancer. That's a terrain issue. Medical error. That's a you issue. That's a your choice issue. You got to take that accountability. Here's what it is. I'm going to end it like that. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit that subscribe button. Give me some thumbs up, comments. I'd love to hear what you think, your thoughts on all of this. It's a very serious topic. It really is. So we're talking about our livelihood here. We've all lost people. And it's crazy to think that, and it's scary to think, sad to think that they might be here if it weren't for the medical system. Someone might say, well, yeah, you know, well, we may have lost people if it wasn't for the medical system. And in some cases, that may be true. But all I know is this, and I'll end it with this, is that everything in nature is created perfectly. Everything's been provided to us, provided for us. It's the ego and the human entitlement to think that we could create something that is the antithesis of what nature has created. Systems put in place to basically battle nature instead of embrace it. To look at health through the eyes of a kind of a pessimistic view, a reactionary view versus a proactive view. To give the power, give our power, our personal sovereignty up to medical systems and doctors as if they're the authority, the end all be all, instead of taking that power back and understanding that we can change we could change everything about ourselves. We can obtain optimal health. We have that power. And we don't need any type of chemical composition to do it. But remember, without those chemical compositions, without that fear, without those authority figures, without the diagnosis, without those routine visits, the system collapses. Because the only way the system survives is like any other business. They have to have customers. Appreciate all of you. Peace, love, and light.